saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
More details are emerging about what happened to the journalist killed in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the details.
The last words uttered by journalist Jamal Khashoggi after he was set upon by a Saudi hit squad in that country's consulate in Istanbul were, "I can't breathe." That's according to a transcript of an audio recording of Khashoggi's torture. According to the transcript, there were screams and a sound of a saw. Then a voice came on, which has been identified as Dr. Sally Mohammed Al-Tubehi, who is the head of forensic medicine at Saudi Arabia's Interior Ministry. He says, "If you don't like all the noise, just put your headphones on and listen to music like me."
Former California GOP Assemblyman Chuck DeVore says the Democrats' Green New Deal is simply an indirect taxation on fuel and gasoline. He tells Fox News what he's referring to.
In France, they pay a little over $7 a gallon for gasoline, and almost half of that are taxes. And this was a climate change tax of about 20 cents a gallon, 25 cents a gallon for gasoline, about 10 cents for diesel. I think that in America, though, with this Green New Deal, you're going to see indirect taxation. In other words, more subsidies, more taxes, more mandates and regulations. I don't think they're going to be foolish enough to go for a direct big tax on fuel like you're seeing in France. But the net effect, Steve, will be the same.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Sam Lannis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Weeds love your garden. They hide near flowers knowing you can't touch them. Now you can with Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1 from the Home Depot. A special buy at just $19.97. The protective shield means pinpoint accuracy so you can target weeds without harming surrounding plants. With Roundup in hand, weeds are in trouble. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1, just $19.97, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
Democrats are attacking Donald Trump Jr. over a meeting he had with a Russian lawyer. Trump Jr. admitted taking the meeting because the lawyer claimed to have damaging information on Hillary Clinton, but Kellyanne Conway says it's no proof of collusion.
Counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, was on Good Morning America today, arguing the meeting does not mean there was...
USA Radio News.
The U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions against three senior North Korean officials, including a top aide to North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Now, these sanctions were in response to the North Korean regime's ongoing serious human rights abuses and censorship. The protests over French President Emmanuel Macron's economic policies continue, although the French president did take to the airwaves and believes that everyone needs to come together as a nation.
I don't want to be divided. I don't want the French people to be divided. Friendship is what must unite this country. I want this because it is precisely because of this that I ran for office in order to reconcile all the French people.
President Trump is reviewing candidates to replace outgoing Chief of Staff John Kelly. Nick Ayers, Vice President Mike Pence's Chief of Staff, was thought to be a leading candidate, but he said thanks, but no thanks. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Good afternoon. The weather tonight is going to be clear with a low around 21, north winds 3 to 5 miles an hour. Tuesday it'll be sunny with a high near 40, calm winds becoming west around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night mostly clear with a low around 25, northwest winds around 6 miles an hour. Wednesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 39, northwest winds 6 to 8 miles an hour. Wednesday night, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 22 and northwest winds around 6 miles an hour. And Thursday, there's a slight chance of rain or snow showers after 8 a.m. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 38. And there's about a 20% chance of precipitation. This is the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Christine Meany. Correct?
I said correct.
Right?
Good afternoon.
Right. Good. Good afternoon. Christine has a bunch of letters after her name.
Not that many.
So, one I know, the RN, that I know. But is also the Director of Home Health and Visiting Health and Supportive Services, which we'll get into having you describe it. But since I don't know what a BSN is, what is a BSN?
BSN is a bachelor's in nursing.
Okay. I was thinking of something else I can't say on the air. Well, I'm only kidding. Now, I have to ask, I ask this to most people.
Sure.
I was in between jobs at one point, and I was trying to be very selective, you know. And one day I was out splitting wood, and I said to myself, Cartwright, you got four kids, you got a mortgage, car payments, taxes, you better get your butt to work because, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, and actually the job turned out real well, but it was just one of those things. So I asked people how they got involved, you know, and some people say, well, I needed a job like me, and they just came along, and I took it.
Sure.
And others say, oh, I always wanted to be a nurse, you know, or whatever. And so I was just curious. How did you get involved
in
this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was actually in medical school, in undergraduate, and I just decided it wasn't for me. It was – at that time, I was very young, and
you're still young.
Thought I knew everything. But so I came home. I dropped out of college. I came home, and my father is just like, well – if you're not in school, you better get a job. So my first job in the medical field was with Hagedorn Psychiatric Facility in Glen Gardner.
Yep.
So I was there in the 80s, and I started out as a nurse's aide. And back then, the state had a program that if you worked for the state and applied and got accepted into nursing school, the state paid for your education. So I was granted that scholarship, and I went to nursing school while I worked, and it was the best decision of my life.
Yeah,
so I was at Hagedorn for about 10 years.
Wow, really?
I was. And
I know Hagedorn very well. My youngest son was there for a while.
Okay, yeah. I was in the older wards there,
okay.
And then they built
the new facility right.
for the 18 to 64 population,
right.
And then I left in 97. And it was kind of a quirky story. My youngest son at the time was born, and he had respiratory problems mm-hmm. as a baby. So he was actually hospitalized at Hunterdon Medical Center, and I ran into a colleague that had left Hagedorn probably about a year prior to my leaving. And she said, "Christine, you have to come work for Hunterdon Home Health." She's like, "It's wonderful. I love them there. It's such a great program." So I left in 97. I joined the Hunterdon team, and I've been there ever since.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's been a great career for me.
You know, I often, to this day, don't understand why they – well, I understand why they closed it. But why they closed Hagedorn, it was the only state hospital that made money.
Yeah.
All the others are in deficit.
It's unfortunate.
And
it's beautiful grounds.
Yeah.
But
we in this area don't have the politicians like Bergen, you
right.
know, other
Hudson
area,
County,
Hudson
other,
County,
yeah, sure.
you know, that's to fight to keep it open.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I understand there's a vet group in there now.
I'm not sure,
yeah,
actually,
yeah,
what's in there.
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
There's a veterans group in there now.
Okay.
There was a care program
mm-hmm.
at the Salvation Army a couple weeks back, and we had a table, and across from us was this young woman, and she was from the vet thing, and that's where she was at.
Okay.
Okay. So you want to explain...
What is home health?
What is home health, visiting health, supportive services? What is that?
Sure. So it's actually two separate departments. So Hunterdon Home Health is the skilled side. So what does that mean? That's patients, clients that need skilled services in their home. So if someone was recently hospitalized and now they're coming home, they're a little deconditioned, they're on new medications, they might need physical therapy at home, they're learning about a new disease that they were diagnosed with, maybe new heart failure client.
Okay.
So home health will provide nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, we have speech language pathologists, social workers, and dietitians, all of those skilled clinicians to provide care for you or your loved one in the home.
Okay.
So it's, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to get out to your physician, to your family practice, to an outpatient department when you're just not feeling well.
What about older seniors?
Most of our patients are over 65,
right.
Although we can take care of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But our average age of our clients are over 80.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
When you stop and think about it. Well, I don't know. There are a lot of people that are 80 who still are mobile and can get around. And,
absolutely.
You know,
and so that's great.
But, you know, if they can't.
Sure.
Then it's wonderful to have something that they can count on.
Right.
You know?
And a lot of people think you have to be bedbound. You don't have to be bedbound. You have to be confined to the home, which means it's
right.
difficult and taxing. So you might be able to get out once a week for church services,
mm-hmm.
or you might be able to get to your doctor once every several weeks. But if it's truly difficult
right.
for you to, you might be short of breath. You might get tired very easily. You might have to walk with an assistive device
right.
and it's hard to
right.
get up and down stairs. That's when home health could come in. And we can do the nurses and therapists that go into the home. We basically can provide any service that you're getting either at your doctor's office or in the hospital. So they can do wound care. They can change Foley catheters. We do a lot of education, a lot of one-on-one. If you don't understand your medication, we can set up a pill planner for
right,
you and,
right.
and things like that. So it's really helping clients stay in their home. We know that most people do not want to go to a care facility.
Right.
They want to stay in their
right.
own homes and to be as healthy as possible and to get back to your optimal level of health.
Right. And that's true. Most people don't want to leave their homes.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like a big decision for them to go to a assisted living or nursing home or something like that.
Sure.
And a lot of times people can't afford it.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, finding one, if they have to go, finding one that's affordable, and that's not easy.
Absolutely.
You know? Sure. Now, that's one end of your...
That's home health, so that's the skilled side. The other side is visiting health and supportive services. So that's the side, that's the healthcare service firm, and what does that mean? So that is where we have certified home health aides that can come in and help you with your activities of daily living. So you might need help showering, dressing, bathing, meal preparation, shopping. So not, it doesn't require the skill of a licensed clinician. It doesn't need a nurse or a therapist. You just need someone in there every day to kind of help you, or a few times a week to help you with your normal activities.
What kind of training does the person need or get to do this before they can go into somebody's home and help them?
Absolutely. That's
and
a great question, Larry.
And is a screening process or
there
whatever?
Is. Visiting Health and Supportive Services, we've been around for 60 years. This is our 60th anniversary. VHS has first started in Quakertown, so right around the corner. And we really pride ourselves in a very selective process. Everyone is interviewed and screened. And they are also certified by the state of New Jersey. So they have to go through a training course. Every year they have to have a minimum of 12 hours of education, but there is an exam. There's clinicals. So it's very lengthy. It's not just anyone can walk off the street and become an aide. Unfortunately, there's a shortage of home health aides.
I would think there would be.
Not
probably.
Just in Hunterdon, but around the state and nationwide. It's an entry-level position. Unfortunately, it's not paid very well. And when you have a lot of big box industry coming in and, you know, you could be a greeter at a store, or, you know, if we're not paying for the kind of care that these patients are receiving and for the kind of care that our aides are providing. It's difficult work. And I think a lot of times it's unappreciated in general by the community.
I think a lot of times the community probably doesn't know about a lot of it either.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Is there volunteers who can do that?
So no, we don't use volunteers because of the training that's involved. You know, if these patients are compromised in any way, you need to be aware of body mechanics so you don't get hurt, so the clients don't get hurt. Transferring, showering, so there is a lot of training. Hospice, which is another department within the Hunterdon Regional Community Health Family, they take care of clients that are towards their end of life, and they have a very extensive volunteer community that they utilize, because a lot of times that's just more companionship. It's someone
that's just
spending
like going
time.
There and spending an hour or two with somebody. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
But really the clients that are looking for help from Visiting Health and Supportive Services needs that hands-on assistance.
Right. And roughly, how many people are involved in your group?
Sure. So home health, we have over about 55 employees.
Okay.
And then on the Visiting Health and Supportive Services side, we have about 35 aides right now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's still a lot, you know?
It's a lot, but it's not enough.
Some. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Unfortunately, we're always
you need
looking.
Some, you know.
Yeah, so I'm going to put a plug out there. If anyone is looking to become a certified home health aide, please give us a call. And if you are certified, then we have job openings. You can go on the Hunterdon healthcare.org website, and all of our job listings are posted. And that's the one thing a lot of people don't know. We are part of the Hunterdon healthcare system.
Right.
So we are not freestanding. We are not for profit. We're part of the non-for-profit community. The same standards, vision, mission that Hunterdon healthcare has, we both pride ourselves in that same, to be the best healthcare provider in the area and treat all of our clients and families with compassion and the high quality care that they deserve.
And is there an eligibility requirement for services?
Sure. So again, for the two sides, there's different eligibility. For the Visiting Health and Supportive Services side, if you are looking to hire for a certified home health aide, there's no eligibility. You can call, because that is the you have to pay for those services. That's not covered under insurance. Unfortunately, Medicare doesn't pay for those types of services. If it's on the skilled side, if it's the home health part of it, then it is covered by insurance, and then there are some qualifications. The main qualification is that it is difficult for you to leave your home. So if you're driving, if you can get out and get to your doctor's office without it being very difficult, then typically those services are not covered. We are seeing a change in some of the commercial insurances that are out there that are covering it, even if you are not homebound any longer. So the insurances are realizing that home health could be a less costly way of providing care than going to a specialist. Or sometimes you need the services of a nurse and don't necessarily need to see a physician all the time.
No, that's true. Though, you know, and a lot of times when people go to a doctor's office, but say like the medical center for something, they will see an APN rather than the doctor all the time.
Correct.
And, you know, it happens.
Sure.
You know,
and when a client does come on home health services, there has to be an oversight, an overseeing physician as part of their care. So there's always communication. We're always going back and forth with the physician. They have to review the plan of care with the nurse. So they're always very involved. So it's very collaborative practice. So we're not practicing independently out there. There is a physician that oversees the care.
Well, we have to take a quick break.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to the Hunter Medical Center Show, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and our guest is Christine Meany. And we went over her initials after her name, bachelor in nursing, RN, registered nurse, and director of the home health and visiting health and supportive services.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We went over some of it. Is supportive services different or?
No, visiting health and supportive services, that's all what that's a all, very long name for one company.
That's yes. all for one.
So
okay.
that's the certified home health aides. And we do have a small section of companions. So that would be if there's not any hands-on skill, someone more like a volunteer type, but they are employees. And then we also do have a private duty nursing side also.
Okay.
So that's all under the VHSS side. So those okay. those services typically are not covered under insurance, but some of the county or state funded programming. So there are programs such as MLTSS, which is a long term, like a Medicaid type program that okay. some clients could qualify for. What else is under there? Veterans benefits. Sometimes we'll service some of our veterans mm-hmm. that need some home health aid work and assistance in their home. There you go. I see that. U.S. Air Force veteran. Thank yeah. you for your service.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's ironic. Now people come up to me and thank me if I wear their wearing a hat or whatever, mm-hmm. or I wear the one that says Vietnam veteran, you know, and they'll come up, oh, thank you for your service. And it always amazes me because they used to spit at us, you know, and throw things at us. And, you know, I was one of the last, I think there was one more after me, but I was one of the last plane loads that came back from overseas and landed in we landed in L.A. airport.
Okay.
And, you know, then they just transferred it over and went to an Air Force base, you know, and landed there right. rather than go to a thing because people would spit at us, throw things at us, you know. Mm. It was interesting,
yeah.
but, you know, so now everybody thanks us, and I like to hear it, you know.
Of course, of course.
Now, eligibility. Is there, you said anybody that falls into these categories, but can it go to young teenagers or older?
Absolutely. It could be. It's anyone that needs those skilled services in the home. Of any age. So typically Hunterdon Home Health only services 18 and older.
Okay.
There are other home health agencies out across the state that will service pediatric clients,
right.
for instance.
Right.
There are specialty programs, say, for expectant mothers, things like that. But we are typically adults. Now, we do some specialty as far as, like, infusion, which is, like, home, say, antibiotics,
okay.
Specialized medications. We can help with that in the home. Most of our referrals into home health do come from our own hospital. So it's from, you know, you're discharged from the hospital mm-hmm. and you still need a little bit of care, then your physician will make that referral. Physicians' offices will make referrals to us if they identify a client comes in and maybe they have a new sore on their leg and they need someone to come in there and help the client. You know, how did that happen? Provide some education, maybe some diet teaching, exercise with the physical therapist or occupational therapist, and then skilled nursing, you know, to provide the wound care. Our goal is to get either patients or families independent with their care again. So we're not there long term.
Okay.
That's one thing that's really important. We're there to assess, to teach, and then to get the patient or family independent again in their care.
Okay. When you said physical therapy, now does that mean coming to the hospital for the physical therapy?
No, we send the therapist right to your house.
To the house.
Absolutely.
All right. And so there's only certain types of things they can do then, right?
Correct. So we're not bringing big pieces of equipment in the home.
Right.
It's really for when you're not ready to go to outpatient yet. So it's to do some strengthening exercises. It's maybe you're having difficulty navigating your own stairs in your house now. It might, after, say, a hip fracture or a surgery,
knee replacement. Right.
Absolutely. It could be something as far as car transfers, getting in and out of the car, things like that. As far as occupational therapy, maybe we're helping you if, say, a family member suffered a stroke or something like that. So we're helping with fine motor skills, with eating, with reading. It could be cognitive therapy. It could be we can do speech therapy, some swallowing issues. It could be all any types of of those skilled services. We actually bring the therapist into the home. But that's a great question with the therapist. We're not going to be bringing an exercise bike in there.
No, well, like,
but they do have, like, you know, those exercise bands. We'll bring in those TheraBands in, and there's a lot of other things. You'd be surprised of how much exercise can be done in the home. Absolutely.
It's I know what you're talking about because I had both my knees replaced at the same time.
Okay.
And I know that stairs are, you know.
Sure.
We have a ranch, thank goodness. The only thing is stairs is down to the basement. And if I really need something, I send my wife down, you know, because it's just going down and up. Even the stairs out here in the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of stairs in this building.
Yes, there is. And I go up them slowly, and I go down them slowly, you know.
Sure.
But, you know.
And that's just it, just teaching you. A lot of times it's not anything that you don't already know, but it's just really you might not be able to do a step at a time. It's doing one step, 2 feet, one step, 2 feet, you know, and it's things like that that you don't think of. Oh, that makes a big difference when I'm going up and down the stairs, making sure you're using the hand railing. We'll go in and do a home safety evaluation, too, to make sure that you don't have rugs on top of rugs. That could be a fall risk.
Right, exactly.
We'll do that assessment and then make suggestions and hopefully, you know, make you and your home as safe as you possibly can.
Is there a special person that does the home assessment?
Those are typically our physical therapists that will go out and do that.
Okay.
We work a lot with our bone and joint coordinator out of the hospital, so Sarah Brentley. Is doing that. She works with the orthopods out of Hunterdon. So if, say, you're going in and you know you're having a hip or a knee replacement and you want the therapist to come out to the home even prior to your surgery, we can go out there and be like, oh, you know what, Mr. Cartwright, you should think about installing a grab bar in your shower. Or maybe you want to get some safety bars around your toilet seat to help you get up and down. And we can do that even before your surgery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
A lot of things people don't think about that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and
being prepared.
A lot of the bars and stuff they don't think about.
Until you need it, or
in the shower or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Or until you're already home and you know you're not feeling well. It's not easy for you to get out, and that's not the time you want to be trying to install something and make modifications to your house.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know. Now you said. Some of these services are covered by insurance and some are not, correct?
Right. So home health, if you meet the criteria, so if you have a skilled need, Medicare does cover those services. So most of our clients, you know, if you have medical insurance, home health is typically covered.
Okay.
It's covered short term. Like I said, it's not long term. And depending on what your insurance is, sometimes you may need prior authorization. So if you still have a private insurance or a managed care, but Medicare does cover those. If we're talking about the visiting health and supportive services side, the home health aid, that typically, this is where it gets a little complicated. If you're on home health services, so if you currently have a nurse or a therapist coming in your home and you need a home health aid, the home health aid is covered while you're receiving those skilled services. Okay. So you need a nurse to come in to do wound care on your leg, then you can have an aid. Now, once the nurse says, okay, you're done, your wound is healed, you no longer need a nurse, but you still would like to have that home health aide come in once or twice a week, then you would have to pay for those services privately. Correct.
All right. They're not covered under insurance or anything.
They are
not.
There are some clients do have long-term care insurance. We are not seeing too much of that, but if that's something that you do have, then some home health aid services could be covered under a long-term care policy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything you'd like the listeners to know that we haven't discussed yet?
Sure. Well, I think one thing is that if you're not sure if you qualify or if it would be something that you or a family member would benefit from, I always say call and ask us.
Okay.
So we have a very knowledgeable intake staff. We have three nurses in our intake department that are always available that could answer questions. So if you're thinking that, you know, you might be taking care of your parents or aunts or uncles or grandparents for that matter, mm-hmm. and be like, you know what, I think mom might need a little bit of help. Would she qualify? Or could you point us in the right direction? Even if home health is not the right avenue for you, our staff are wonderful in referring out to other areas within the county that may be able to help for you. So that's one thing I would like to let the listeners know. The other thing is that you could refer yourself. So I had spoken earlier that most of our referrals come from the hospital or from doctor's offices, but that's not necessary. So if, say, I'm having surgery and I know I'm going to need help in a few weeks, I can call in advance and just say, this is what I think I'm going to need help with. And then our staff, again, will reach out to your physician and coordinate all of that care. So when the care time is needed, everything's in place for you.
All right. When somebody like that calls, mm-hmm. and they think they're going to need X, Y, or Z, and you and the physician elaborate and collaborate on this, but you don't come up with the X, Y, and Z that the patient come up with, what happens then?
Right. So we can always go out for a one-time assessment. So if we're not sure, if the doctor, maybe they have a client that's missed their last three appointments in the office, and the doctor might call us and say, you know what, Christine, can you send a nurse out to go check on Mrs. Smith for us? She's missed her last appointment. We will go out and do a one-time assessment, and that's a large part of what the nurse's job is.
Okay.
Going into the home and seeing what are the needs, what's happening, is there a change in their condition? Are they more confused? Are they falling more? Are, you know, what is really happening?
Right.
And does it need a nurse or a therapist to kind of come in and maybe tweak some things, talk with the doctor, make some medication changes? Or is it something else that, you know what, maybe we need to get family involved. Maybe they're living by themselves and they don't really know what's happening. A lot of times with the elderly, maybe there's an acute infection going on. Sometimes with a urinary tract infection or a respiratory infection, it can make changes in your mental status, mm-hmm. and be a little confused. So the nurse will go in there and make that full assessment and then decide whether or not or what services are needed and work with the patients that way.
Do you ever run into the fact where a person is not cognitive of what's going on, and it's more like dementia or Alzheimer's or mm-hmm. something like that?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, what is the nurse, when she makes that, how does that assessment go from there?
Sure. So we do see a fair amount of patients that have dementia, either early onset or, you know, more advanced. If the patient has to provide consent for us to be out there. So if they have not been deemed incompetent, so if they're still competent,
right.
then of course they can direct their own care. Most of the clients that we do see that have that level of dementia do have a family member or someone there with them, you know, that can
mm-hmm.
that can help with their care. We do work with the county, so we work with the Board of Social Services if we needed to get additional services in there. And we also work very closely with Adult Protective Services. So if we do come across a family or a patient that we feel is not safe to live alone, or, you know, they're making poor decisions, or they're being left alone mm-hmm. during the day when they shouldn't, we will work with other agencies within the county to make sure that patient is safe as possible.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we are seeing more and more of that. Lot of social determinants of care are impacting patients' well-being. So their limited transportation, you know, for example, right, in the county. Right. They can't get out to pick up their prescriptions. They can't get to the grocery store. They're not computer savvy enough to do the online shopping and things like that.
Right.
You know, we still have a fair amount of smokers in the county. So they're still smoking out there, even though they have advanced lung disease. And, you know, we do our best to try to provide education and risks. But I think one of the hardest things for the clinicians in the home is accepting that people can make bad decisions. And we have to...
You don't have to be... You don't have to
we can't always... To do that, right, you know? Exactly, whether you have dementia or not. Right. But, you know, our goal out there is to make sure that the clients have all of the information that they need to make the best decision that they can.
Right.
It may not always be the best decision, but that we...
Can, as long as they're competent enough.
Exactly.
Or they're declared competent anyway. You know, there's not much you can do about it, right?
Correct.
That they make the decision, but...
Yeah, we talk a lot about compliance in home care, you know, people's ability to want to get better and work with us. It's not our... We're going to do everything we possibly can to get you to your optimal level of health, but if you choose not to, then that's ultimately, you know, the patient's decision, and we will communicate everything back to the physician and the family of what we did and what our goals were. And we do a lot of patient-centered goals to make sure that we're all on the same page. Because, Larry, I might want you to say, you know what, we're going to have you run a mile every day. And you're going to be like, oh, no, I'm not, Christine. That's not my goal. And so that's something I have to respect. Right. So we're like, how about, you know, a walk around the block? And that might be our compromise.
Right.
Something
right.
like that.
With my knee replacement.
With your knees, I don't think.
It better be on a level block.
With a really good pair of running shoes, right?
Exactly, because I'm not running, but I'll walk. But, you know, it's ironic because we live in a country. And my wife doesn't go to the gym. She walks.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets up this morning and she goes and she walks. And if she does the extended walk, it's like 2.5 miles.
Okay.
To go around a block.
I hear you.
So, you know, tells you we don't live in a development.
Right.
You know. But, you know, that she's happy doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I went with her one time shortly after my knees were done. And... You're going down and up and down and up. And I was like, I barely could make it home.
Right.
And I asked my surgeon who did the knees. He says, well, why don't you walk on level ground? He says, you won't feel it as much. You
right.
know? He says, don't go walking up and down hills, you know, unless it's absolutely necessary. You broke down with a car or something.
Sure.
He says, but other than that, you know. Walk on level grounds.
Yeah, you don't realize the lovely rolling hills in the county, right?
Exactly.
You're on that slow incline, and after
then
a
you're
while,
going down, and then you're going up, and you know, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So I go to the gym.
Okay. The treadmill, really? It's.
I don't even
do
the treadmill. Nope. I ride a bike.
Okay. Okay.
Because the treadmill is like walking, but it's like it's somehow or other still has pressure on,
and
the
bike
and
has
stuff.
Low impact on your on your joints.
Right.
So
yeah, so I ride the bike. And do other machines, but I ride the bike. But I know that, unfortunately, like you said, you know, you're seeing a lot more people with not being cognizant enough to know what their situation is and so on and so forth. And that's got to be very depressing. You know, for somebody to go into the house and see this person, man or woman, it doesn't matter, and not be able to help them, you know, that's got to be tough.
It can be. You know, we have a really great team, Larry, and our social workers not only are out there to help the patients, but also to help our staff.
Right.
So we case conference. So the entire team will come together, and this is another I think it's a real special thing of Hunter Inn is that every 2 weeks, the entire care team will get together and discuss their cases. So no one's practicing in a silo.
Right.
The nurse, all the therapists, the social worker, the dietitian. We have telemedicine. We could talk a little bit about that if we have time. That entire team will come together and say, okay, this is what I'm doing. you know, we're going to be out here for X amount more weeks. What are you doing? So the whole team will come together, and it really helps if there are those social issues or mm-hmm. those behavioral issues that we need to brainstorm kind of together right. and be like, what right. what can we do and are we doing everything? So that, I think, is a real benefit to Hunter Dean Home Health and how we treat our clients.
Well, it is, because that way, you know, somebody may see something that somebody else missed.
Exactly.
You know, or is missing in, you know, their situation that they're dealing with.
Right.
So, yeah, that is good that it gets together and, you know, you coordinate it.
And it's very different than hospital care. We're not there every day.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, we may only be there two or three times a week. And so, well, you know what can happen? And maybe an hour's visit time. So
sure.
a lot of time passes in
right.
between our
in
visits.
In between visits.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We have to take another break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Help make your community safer. Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers is a community-based program aimed at making our community safer by providing an avenue for citizens to anonymously report criminal activity. It provides monetary rewards if the information leads to an arrest and indictment. See something, say something, and get cash for your anonymous tip. Call or text 1-800-321-0010 or go online to www.crimestoppershunterdon.com.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, the host, and we are very privileged to have Christine Meany here this afternoon, and she's the Director of Home Health and Visiting Health and Supportive Services, and we've been talking about a lot of what her organization does. And you had mentioned, what was it, telemedication?
Telemedicine. Telehealth.
Okay.
So what is that?
Yeah, what is that?
Hunterdon Home Health has been doing telehealth for, I would say, at least the last 12 years. And what we do is we will place a tablet, like a wireless tablet, into a patient's home. And it comes with a scale, a blood pressure cuff, and a little device that's called a pulse oximeter. And what we do is we set it up in the patient's home. It's all wireless, all Bluetooth technology nowadays, and teach the client to get on the scale every day, put the blood pressure cuff on, and put this little device on. And what it does is it measures their vital signs that it's then transmitted back to the office, and we have a nurse that's monitoring those results every single day, regardless whether the nurse is actually making a visit, whatever's happening. And then there's communication and trending that we can monitor you without actually having to send anyone out to the home.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
Really?
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Because now the question is, do the people do it every day?
You know, they absolutely do it. And when they don't do it, then that, so the program that we have if those alerts don't come across the monitor, mm-hmm. then that's an alert for our nurse that we will reach out to the client just to make sure, are you okay that day? Did you forget? Did you fall? Right. Are you away on vacation? You know, so we can really follow up on that. But our clients are very, very compliant that usually, you know, that are on the program.
Right, right.
For this past month, I think we have about 40 monitors out there in the community. Wow. And our nurse, Nancy, I'm going to give a little shout out to Nancy. She does a great job of reaching out to our clients. And then we also work very closely with our heart care clinic,
okay.
with our cardiologist here at Hunterdon. And we send those trends to the doctors on a weekly basis. So we're sending all of that information so your doctors can see that information. And, of course, if there's anything out of, out of line, so, for example, our heart failure patients, we look for trends for a weight gain more than 2 pounds in a day or 5 pounds in a week. So if that happens, we're calling your cardiologist that day mm-hmm. instead of waiting until you're short of breath or until your weight is up 10 pounds or you don't recognize it. And then instead of making an adjustment to your medication, you land yourself in the hospital. So we want to prevent that. We mm-hmm. don't want people to go into the emergency room and to be hospitalized if we don't have to. So it's early intervention.
Right.
So it's really keeping an eye on the patient using technology and using it as a tool to teach them and recognize, hey, you know what? I might have had a little bit too much salt in my dinner yesterday. Let me go on the scale to see if I could see that change in my weight today.
Right.
And really educating them to manage their diseases better.
Right. I have a cardiologist, Dr. Rudnick.
Okay.
They tell me I have atrial flutter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel it. Never have. And when I was going in for a colonoscopy, and they had all these things. You don't feel this? You don't feel that? I don't feel anything. What do you want me to feel? I don't feel anything. Let's get this thing over with, you know? And doctor came in, and he looked. He said, all right, we'll deal with it after. So I thought I was going home after. They took me down to the emergency room, right? And Dr. Rudnick happened to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to – the ER doctor wanted to keep me.
Okay.
Dr. Rudnick says, there's no reason to keep him. We'll give him medication and send him home, you know, and he will make an appointment so he can come see me. And so I've been seeing him, you know, ever since.
Your body's an amazing thing. It can, if it's been something that you've had for so long, for many, many years, you might not even recognize it. Like you said, your body adapts to it. And
well, he said that there are some people, he says it's very low percentage, but there are some people that don't feel it.
That don't feel it.
He says most of the people that have it feel it.
Right.
And, you know, I said, well, I'm sorry, but I don't, you know. And in one way, he says, well, in one way, that's good. And another way, it's not so good, you know.
Right.
But, you know, so we keep track of it and stuff. But, you know, but it's just interesting, you know. That's how I met him and, you know.
Absolutely.
So I've been going to see him ever since, you
good.
Know.
Good,
but he tells me it's good, so I, you know, don't worry about it because I don't feel it anyway. You know?
As long as you keep taking your medication.
Oh, I take the medication, but I just, you know, I just don't feel it. So that's fine. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's fine. You know, but if someone wanted to know more about your group or your organization and stuff, how would they do it? Is there a website or?
Absolutely. You could always go through the Hunterdon Healthcare website. So that's huntertonhealthcare.org. You could call our office directly, and our number is 908-788-6138. If after the show today you forget our number, you could always call the main hospital, which is 788-6100, and then ask for the home health department. So again, we are a department of the hospital.
Right.
We are located outside of the main campus, right off of Westcott Drive, but we use the same hospital operators, so we're all connected, so it's very easy to get to.
First building?
We are in the old ESC school building where the Sun Bank used to be there off
of
31.
Yes, I know where it is. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the Paul Wirtz building or Hunterdon Regional Community Health. So hospice, home health, visiting health and supportive services, cardiopulmonary, CPR education is there, childbirth education.
Right. Okay.
Several hospital departments are over there.
Right. What is your phone number again now?
Again, home health, 908-788-6138.
Okay. And if you could, I have a question about the telemedicine.
Sure.
If someone goes on vacation, they can't take that with them.
They absolutely can take it with them.
Oh, they can take it
they
with
can.
Them.
They okay. can. We have a few clients that will take it. The scale is not real big. It's about maybe 16 right. by 12.
Right.
They can just pack up all their equipment, let us know they're going to reset it up. We'll set a test wherever they're going. We have a few clients. Now, another nice feature about the telemedicine is that you may start it on home health. And then once you're discharged, you might really like that connectivity of having a nurse monitor you
right,
every day.
Right.
You can continue that privately on the visiting health and supportive services side. So we just had, unfortunately, she just passed last week, but one of our clients that was on the telehealth monitor just made it to her 100th birthday.
God bless her.
And she had the monitor for about 3.5 years. And if she went to a family member's on a holiday or if she went away for, you know, a week's right. vacation with another family, she took that monitor wherever she went. And we always knew, you know, what she was doing and,
mm-hmm. right.
and how well
right.
she was. And she lived to the wonderful age of 100. So
that's awesome. You know.
Great. And good quality of life, too.
And that's the whole thing.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. We kept her out of the hospital where she
yeah,
wanted to be.
Right. You know, and that's, but, you know, that's my question. It was like, you know, can you take it with you? Is it, you know, yeah. or is it just designed for the home there, you know?
No, you could take it. And the pieces are very small. A lot of our clients, too, you can take your blood pressure and you don't have to send the results. The pulse oximeter measures your oxygen level in your blood. So you
right.
can pop that on your finger at any time and just be like, oh, I'm going to go for a, you know, a walk around the house. How mm-hmm. am I doing? Or if it's a client that wears oxygen all the time and they're slowly trying to take themselves, you know, with their doctor, of course, trying to wean themselves off their oxygen,
yeah.
they want to measure that to make sure that they're doing it safely, then you can do that without sending those results. So the equipment is very, very portable.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Christine.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
You know? And, you know, like I said, your number was
908-788-6138. If you have any questions at all about our services or if you might qualify, please give us a call. Our intake nurses, Nancy and Amy, would be happy to help you.
And thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you.
And hopefully you'll be back in a short period of time, you know?
Thank you.
And in the meantime, have a very Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year.
You too. Thank you, Larry.
All right. We'll see you all next week, same time, same station. Have a good one.
Every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on 100 in Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the 100 County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in 100 County.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Help make your community safer. Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers is a community-based program aimed at making our community safer by providing an avenue for citizens to anonymously report criminal activity. It provides monetary rewards if the information leads to an arrest and indictment. See something, say something, and get cash for your anonymous tip. Call or text 1-800-321-0010 or go online to www.crimestoppershunterdon.com.
You USA Radio News.
Folks are continuing to clean up after a powerful winter storm dropped over 2 feet of snow in parts of North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. According to FlightAware, more than 900 flights have been canceled, with thousands facing more delays. Despite rumors that OPEC may cut production, gasoline prices continue to fall across the nation. Crude oil prices have now fallen $23 a barrel. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
The national average for the price of gasoline is now at $2.41 a gallon. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us the price of gasoline is down 30 cents a gallon from a month ago.
The national average is now down about 5 cents a gallon versus where gas prices were 1 year ago when they stood at $2.46. In addition, the national average has plunged 30 cents a gallon from $2.71 a gallon a month ago.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska, and he goes to the